Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 17. Proverbs, chapter number 17. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Again, thankful to get to preach tonight. Tonight, like I said this morning, it'll be just a little bit different. There's going to be a lot of testimony, illustration kind of added in here. And just something that over the last year, the Lord has really worked. I mean, you get to the end of the year, you begin to reflect on the year and what God has done in your life. And this is something monumental that God has worked in my life this year. And I hope it can be a blessing to you. Maybe something that you haven't thought a whole lot about, but it can make a huge difference, not only in your life, but in the life of lots of people all around you. And it can just continue on. So I hope it'll be a help to you. But we're going to be talking about the subject, the discipline of friendship, the discipline of friendship. And I know it might kind of sound strange, the title, but as we get into it, I believe you're going to see, even in this first verse that we read here, that it is a discipline that we need to exercise on a daily basis. So Proverbs chapter number 27, look at verse number 17. We're just going to read this one verse tonight. Proverbs 27, 17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I think that God has much to say about friendship in the Word of God, and I think He's going to teach us tonight. So let's ask His blessings on the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. I'm thankful, Lord, that You showed us exactly what a true friend should be. Tonight, I pray that You'd teach us, Lord, and show us from Your Word how we can be that friend to others. And God, that You'd help our church. Lord, I believe our church is in great need of meaningful, deep friendships and relationships. And I pray, God, that You'd use this message to help those in this auditorium and in our church to be the friends that we ought to be for one another. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Again, I apologize for my voice. If there's squeaks and creaks and maybe some moans, I don't know if there's going to be any of those, but it might get to that point. We'll see. Pastor isn't going to like me talking about him, but he's all the way across the country right now, and he's distracted with a grandbaby, so he may not even ever hear about this. So that's okay. This is between me and y'all, okay? And hopefully he doesn't watch the live stream. No, I'm just kidding. But I think it's a necessary part of the testimony this evening. Most everybody here knows our pastor pretty well, but there's many of you that are newer to our church, or maybe you just haven't developed a close relationship with pastor where you see kind of his day-to-day life like I do. But let me tell you, when we started working together over 9 years ago, I'll be honest with you, I was pretty intimidated. Our pastor is a very disciplined person. In his ministry life, he's very structured. He desires for things to be done in excellence, and after watching him for almost a decade, I can say firsthand that he's one of the most disciplined people that I know. As I watched him, I realized that it's not just at church, it's in his personal life. He is constant in his walk with the Lord, in his finances. I've watched him save. I've watched him give, be responsible in that way, in his physical life. The other day, I don't know if you know this about our pastor, but he runs a lot. Anybody know that? I mean, he runs a lot. And I just checked on the Nike Run Club app, because that's where he logs all of his runs and everything. And this year, our pastor, yesterday when I checked, hit 2,000 miles this year on his runs. And I don't know if you understand how many miles that is, but that averages like over 5 miles a day running. And so that doesn't happen just because you wake up one day or you get a New Year's resolution and you decide, hey, I'm going to run 2,000 miles this year. You know what happened to me? I would have a heart attack. That's what would happen to me. But it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of determination to do those things. It takes a lot of self-denial to do those things, to accomplish something of that magnitude, 2,000 miles. I know he's disciplined in all these areas, but I've noticed something about our pastor that something else about him that's made a huge impact on his own family, on my life, on my family, on our church, and literally people around the world. And it's this: I have observed my pastor exercising the discipline of friendship. The discipline of friendship. So that's what we're going to talk about this evening. And maybe you've never heard it put that way, but having and maintaining edifying friendships is not an easy task. In fact, I'm learning that it is a lot of selfless work. It's a lot of selfless work to think, to develop a friendship. And you know, a lot of people want friendships. They want close friendships and close relationships. But they begin to step into having a close relationship with people, and they determine and decide, you know what, this is going to take a lot of work. I'm going to have to put some effort in here if this is going to work out, if this is going to be a close relationship like I desire it to be. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. It takes thoughtful consideration and care. It takes communication and self-control. And even though it costs a lot, I haven't found anything in this life to be more rewarding than exercising the discipline of friendship. This may, like I said, it may end up being more of a testimony tonight, but it's something the Lord's really taught me. I think it's going to be a huge help. It can be a huge help to dads and moms and friends. It can be a huge help as you even witness to the lost, implementing these things that are taught in the Word of God. So our passage, Proverbs 27, 17, not a new passage. It's something that each one of us have heard. It's one of those that we have memorized. It's one of those that we rehearse on a regular basis. We see it come across our Facebook feed all the time. It's iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Several years back, one of my closest friends was serving in a ministry, and things were going really well. I had seen the church, spent time with them, and things appeared to be going well. However, our communication between my friend and I, it began to just be kind of sparse. You know, I was busy and he was busy, and we just kind of made the excuse that, you know, because we're busy, we don't have to have communication and things like that. And I didn't realize some of the struggles that were going on and the discouragement that he was experiencing. And I was blindsided when one of my best friends stepped away from that ministry because of the pressures that he was facing as a pastor. And I thought to myself after that happened, how in the world? And it kept me awake. How in the world could one of my closest friends have these major struggles and I didn't have a clue of what was going on? You ever been there before? After he left that ministry, our pastor, Pastor Preston, communicated with him, helped him get on his feet, and I'm glad to say today that my friend is doing exceptionally well because of our pastor's influence in his life and helping him along to get through those things. When all this happened, I had a lot of thoughts that came through my mind. Why wasn't I aware of the needs of one of my closest friends? And someone might say, well, you can't blame yourself if he didn't tell you. And he's even said the same thing to me. But I knew something was missing, and I needed to do more to be aware of what was going on with my friends that are closest to me. Why didn't I communicate with him on a regular basis in a meaningful way? And what is it about our pastor that people seem to always do better after connecting with him? What is he doing that I'm not doing? And the last question, how can I be a better friend? That's the desire. How can I be a better friend? You know, we have people that go through things. We have people in this room that are going through some things right now, and nobody else really knows about it. You may even think you're pretty close to them, and you may not have a clue of what's going on in their life. That's the desire. God, how can I be a better friend? So God begins to work and begins to move, and this all happened in early 2018. And in September of 2018, I was at the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship meeting in Chicago, and our pastor was actually preaching at that meeting. And he preached a message entitled, The Lone Wolf Syndrome. The Lone Wolf Syndrome. I was in the back. I was there because I was running the live stream and just doing all the technology stuff. But during that message, I wasn't really paying attention. So if you go back and you watch that message, there's likely some cameras that aren't where they're supposed to be, because I wasn't paying so much attention to the live stream as I was just locked in on this message that I certainly needed. He preached about when Moses was judging the people from sunup to sundown by himself. And his father-in-law came to him and said these words in Exodus 18. The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And God struck my heart during this message, because I realized that even though I was in ministry with people all around me all the time, I had the lone wolf syndrome. How's that possible? Well, the truth of the matter is that I was trying to do things in my own power. I was expecting my family, even our staff, even my closest friends, to really shoulder their burden alone. I just had that attitude that, you know what, you just got to take on your responsibilities. Just do your responsibilities. Just navigate it. Just toughen up. Just get it done. There's not any excuses. And you kind of get that, you know, drill sergeant mentality where you're just plugging along. And I'm expecting that from my friends. Well, if they've got a problem, they just need to buck up and they just need to get through it. I realized that I had developed the degenerative disease of isolation and self-reliance. The reality is that life and ministry that God has given to each of us is beyond any of our abilities. Maybe you have that attitude. You just got to buck up. You just got to handle it. You just got to do it. You just got to keep moving forward, and no matter what. And maybe you've been that way with your family. Maybe you've been that way with your friends. Maybe you've been that way with even church members. Well, I know they have a problem, but they just need to get over it. You know what? God pricked my heart, and he showed me that, you know what? The way that he's going to get them over it or get them through it is many times through us helping a friend. Somebody coming alongside them and helping them through what they're going through. Well, the ministry, life, it's beyond of our abilities. The responsibilities that we're given are too great. The circumstances are too complicated many times. And we need the Lord and we need each other. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in desperate need of some encouragement. Let me tell you, friends, the Bible commands us to help one another. Maybe you've been through some difficult things this year, and you just need to be recharged. You need somebody in your life to be that person that is going to help you. As I look out tonight, I see many that have served overtime this year. You've been in ministries and you've been doing things, and it seems like, man, you're burning the candle at both ends. You're giving everything that you've got, and you're frustrated. You're tired. You know, ministry is like that many times. Ministry is exciting, but it's also exhausting, and it can be full of surprises, some good and some bad, some funny and some are not funny. I remember a time, and that's just things that you get to do and experience in ministry, and you look back and you laugh at them. I remember one time in Vermont, we were out door-to-door visitation, and we were going, and door-to-door visitation there is like you drive 30 miles to the next house, you know, and you actually are only going this far, but the roads are like this, so you're trying to find this house. I remember we found a house that we were going up to, and we knock on the door, and we hear somebody yell from the inside, "Come on in." So we come in this house, and it was evident as we opened the door that this person really loved cats. Really loved cats, if you know what I mean. Like 30 cats. There are cats everywhere in this house. So if you didn't know this about me, I'm allergic to cats, especially in enclosed areas like that. So we went in and we shut the door because it's like 30 below outside and we're, you know, inside the house. And I'm over there, I can already feel it. Like, I can't breathe that well. I'm like kind of trying to open my eyes, but they're all blurry because I've got allergies and everything. So all this is going on and I'm standing in the back and my pastor, Pastor Matt Perkins, who was the pastor up there, is talking to this guy. And he's sitting in his chair in the living room. Obviously, he's disabled and he can't get around very well. So he's talking to him, he's witnessing to him, and I'm just back there like, I think I'm about to pass out or something. Standing over there, and I look over to my right, and a goat comes out of the kitchen. And I'm thinking to myself, am I hallucinating? Like, what is going on right now? So the goat comes through, knocks over a trash can, starts eating the trash. And the guy starts like trying to throw his cane at the goat and telling the goat to stop. So I'm like, okay, he knows the goat's here, so I'm not delirious. That's good. And so we kind of wrap things up and we leave. I can't tell you how many times we laugh so hard. Maybe you've got stories like that about ministry and just things that you've experienced. It's hilarious sometimes. It's fun sometimes. It's a joy many times. But then there's other times where you're standing next to a bedside of somebody that just passed away, and there's a family that's grieving. And that's hard. You get news, a diagnosis. Something happens, and man, those are hard. There's ups and downs in life, and those things are difficult. But the thing about it is, there have been countless times when there was no laughter because we were in a very serious situation. Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it was a severe illness. Maybe it was a loved one that had passed away. On and on we could go. But as we look into the Word of God, we are instructed in the book of Galatians by Paul to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as you study the Word of God, you begin to understand the Word of God, you're going to understand more and more that, okay, let's imagine it this way. We come through and we join a church, we become a member of this body of Christ. And you come through this door and you're not really carrying any burdens. God's been good, man, things are taken care of. And somebody else comes through the door and they are burdened down heavily. It seems like there's an onslaught. We're one body in Christ. We are the body of Christ. And when one of us comes through this door hurting, what should the others do? Avoid them? Don't go by them? Don't help them? Don't listen to them? According to the Word of God, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it's a responsibility as a church, if we're going to be a friend to them, then we're going to have to come alongside them. We're going to have to help them. You know, we're going to have to feel what they feel. understand what they're going through. We're going to have to not talk so much, but maybe listen every now and then. Understand what they're feeling, what they're going through. So, after a little while, God showed me some things that I'm still learning and developing, but I hope it'll be a help to you tonight. So the first thing is, number one, receive friendship. Number one, receive friendship. We need to be sharpened. We need to be sharpened. It's pointless to live our lives, listen to this carefully, it's pointless to live our lives trying to impress everyone with how shiny our dull blade is. Maybe you're not catching that right off, but I imagine, you know, there's somebody there and they've got this sword. And man, they've got a cloth. They've got, you know, oil that they're rubbing on this thing. And man, it is the shiniest sword you could ever imagine. It is polished. It is nice looking. It is beautiful. But then you go to try to use it and that blade is as blunt as can be. It may look really, really nice, but it's not very effective. God doesn't want us to go around as Christians, shining up the outside, making sure everything looks good on the outside, making sure all of our social media posts are just right so that everybody thinks something of us, while on the inside, we aren't reading our Bible, we're not praying, we're not faithful like we ought to. We're not serving like we should. We're not even trying to be a friend to those that are around us. And I'm telling you, if all you're doing is shining the sword, you're going to find at the end of your life that you should have put some iron to iron and sharpened it. Amen. And you know, maybe that's what this is for tonight. Put some iron on iron. But I'm telling you, we need to receive friendship. A lot of times we like to hang out with people that are like us, that like the same things that we do. But I'm telling you, I need friends in my life that are not like me, that they can see my flaws and they can tell me what is going on, what is the problem with me. And I need to receive that friendship. I need that help sometimes. But I think that God wants each one of us to understand that friendship is more. We have to receive this friendship. It's pointless if we're going to just try to impress and have all these shallow relationships, but we're not really sharpening one another. Pride is a terrible sin. It's one of the most debilitating sins of all. I never thought that I really struggled with pride, because all growing up in college and even into my adult life, I have been had more of a timid personality. And I used to think that being shy and timid was really a sign of humility. But I've learned that it's just the opposite. And really, I was so afraid of what people thought that I didn't ask questions. I would rather them just think that I have it all together. We need people that are going to sharpen us. We need to spend time with those that are wiser, have more experience, aren't afraid to ask us hard questions, and keep us accountable. Too often, we hang around those that we're comfortable which are often our peers. But it will do us some good to develop sharpening friendships and relationships with those that make us think twice about what we're doing and aren't afraid to tell us what they think. We need to receive that friendship. Don't push those people out of your life. Don't push those people, teenagers, don't push those people out of your life that are trying to tell you, hey, I think you should think about this before you make that decision. Those are the most important people in your life. They're trying to help you along. But adults, we want to act like we have it all together. Remember, got that shiny sword. And we don't like it when somebody says, hey, did you notice this? Hey, have you read your Bible? Hey, how's your prayer life? And man, it bothers us. We need to receive that friendship. When somebody comes to you and they care enough to ask you those hard questions, thank God for that person that's in your life. Receive it. Receive it. So our pastor brings in seasoned men of the faith on a regular basis to preach in our church. but he also gives us opportunities to be sharpened by them. Like recently, we had Dr. R.B. Ouellette preach a revival for us, and Pastor arranged for all the staff to sit down with him at a meal and ask him questions. And honestly, I learned a lot just by sitting at this meal with this man of God. And some of the answers, they stung. And he just gives it to you like it is. It stung because I knew I had issues in that area. It was convicting, but I know it was good for me. Think about this. Before you start shining your sword, sharpen the blade. Sharpen the blade. Find someone that's going to knock off the rough edges and make seeking godly counsel a regular part of your life. Receive friendship from others. Receive that friendship. Number two, give friendship. Give friendship. We need to sharpen others. I turned 40 years old this year. Yep, that's about what it feels like right there. Woo! I don't feel 40, but we just hired three young guys that are in their early 20s on staff, and they like to remind me often that I'm double their age. You know what? These young men, they have lots of questions. They're starting out in so many aspects of life and ministry and all these things. And a lot of times they need to talk. They need help. Sometimes it's exhausting and sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes I start sounding really old when I say something like, how do you not get this? Back when I was your age. Wait a second. I sound really old. You know what? Sometimes I'm going to say things to them that they don't like to hear. But it's because I care about them deeply. I want them to succeed, not only in ministry, but in their personal life as well. And there are men and ladies in this church that you personally need to sharpen them. We have a staff that a lot of my time is spent helping, training, guiding, directing, giving instruction to. And fortunately, I have developed many relationships in the church. But listen, it is not just the responsibility of the pastor and the staff to make sure that Bethany Baptist Church is functioning the way that it should. It is each and every member's. You remember, you're a member of this body, and there's somebody that you can influence. There's somebody that you can be a friend to. There's somebody that you can be a help to, that they are waiting for you to help them, to bring them along, to listen to them, to give them instruction. They need you to take the time to invest in them. Here's the reality, and this is what I always ran into a wall on. I'm like, God, you know how busy I am. You know all the things that I have to do. God, I don't have time to do that. God, I don't have time to do this. But here's the reality. We're all busy most of the time. And this is the reason this message is titled The Discipline of Friendship. It is unlikely that most of you have hours and hours of free time every day. If your life is anything like ours, it is constant. And here's how the Lord spoke to me about this. I can make excuses until the cows come home about why I am not disciplined in certain areas of my life. And when I stand before a thrice holy God, I will be ashamed of the time that I've wasted when he wanted me to do more. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to stand before the Lord knowing that I reached out and I did my best to help those that were in need, to help those that needed a friend. I can make excuses all day long about all these things. Or I can start today, little by little, improving and developing the areas that I know I'm lacking in. And in a year's time, in 2 years' time, in 5 years' time, as Brother Sam Davison said, when I was in college there, he would say this as he was preaching through the Bible. He would say, that repetitious action will have created a groove in the soul, otherwise known as character. You know, it's the daily things that we do, and it's the daily disciplines. You know, we get to the point where We want to have friendships, and we want to have relationships, and we want to have meaningful, deep relationships with people. Listen, friends, it's not going to start by just one interaction. It's not going to start that way. It's going to take daily, weekly, monthly, repetition, seeking after the help that you need, or going after somebody and helping them where they have a need, showing interest in them, finding out when their birthday is and making sure that you make it special for them, finding out what's going on in their life and telling them that you're praying about this thing. We got a prayer list, and there's a lot of things on that prayer list. And maybe you can't go after each and every one, but I'm telling you, if you go after several and you begin communicating with the people that are on that list that have those needs, it's going to do a lot in building that relationship. You decide, you know what? You know, somebody maybe gave you a gift card for Christmas, and man, you got a gift card to a steakhouse, and it's this much, and you're like, man, we can eat good. Or you could say, honey, you know what? Maybe we should eat not quite as good and take somebody else with us. Somebody that we haven't talked to. Somebody that maybe needs encouragement. Maybe they recently moved here and they don't know a whole lot of people. We can do those things as a church body in helping sharpen one another, listening to them, talking to them. Don't go into that relationship or conversation trying to get them to understand how great you are and what you've done, and you talk the whole time. That's not going to help. But go and listen, communicate, be a help and be a guide, sharpen one another. It's really a command of the Lord. He's done that for us. We need to do that for other people. He wants us to make sure that we are not just having friends, but we are disciplined in the area of friendship. I'm going to leave you with some practical help. I understood that I was very, very lacking in this area in many ways, and I'm still learning so much. But this is what I started doing to help me, and I think it's there in your handout. But number one, I started scheduling time to communicate with my friends every single week, trying to communicate with them, trying to talk to them. Maybe it's a text, maybe it's a call, but those people that I need to interact with, trying to communicate with them on a regular basis. Maybe it's not a deep conversation every time, but it's just an acknowledgement that, hey, I'm praying for you. What's going on? What you doing? Letting them know that I'm there for them and I want to talk to them. I try to stay informed about what's going on in their life. I pray for them regularly and specifically. I allow them to keep me accountable, and I do the same for them. I take time when needed to invest in them. And I'm learning to prioritize relationships above a lot of things that I think feel like I need to do. Oh, I got to make sure this thing is taken care of over here. Pastor's helping me a lot with that too, just prioritizing things. Relationships matter. So do those things. They'll help you tremendously. Just like sharpening a blade takes repetition, we need to develop the discipline of friendship. We need to be that constant friend to those around us. You could start this week. Meet someone new. Take them out to eat. Listen to them. Maybe you can't do that. Maybe you take them to coffee. Maybe you just find a way in the coming weeks and the coming year so that you're communicating with people, that you're reaching out to people. Maybe God has blessed you with the means to be able to do more for people, but maybe you can't always take somebody out, but you find out what they like, and you just have those interactions and those friendships. Start a new friendship, renew a friendship. And we need the Lord, and we need each other if we're going to have the desired impact on this world. Listen, God desires this church together as a body of believers to reach this world. That's what we need to be doing. And you got to think, sometimes, you know, how connected are we as a body? You know, how connected are we? And I think we need to grow those bonds this next year. Grow those friendships tighter. Grow those friendships. You see all these new people coming into this place? Find out who they are, why they're here, and take them and spend some time with them, disciple them, help them. I'm telling you, is one of the most rewarding things, is to see somebody begin to grow because of the investment that you've put in their life. And God can do that. And I'm telling you, if we will take this right here and we will be a friend to those that enter Bethany Baptist Church and we will bear their burdens together, then who knows what God can do through the ministry of Bethany Baptist Church over the next year. I think he's going to do big things, and I'm excited about it. So let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, and we'll begin our invitation tonight. Hope God spoke to your heart, and I hope he uses this like he's used it in my life, just to be a friend, to be a better friend, to help those that are around you.